Hello. There we are. We're there. Right, good morning. If you're still at the back, do you want to just come grab a seat? I'm going to make a start. Good morning, everyone. If you've got a Bible in any format, do you want to get yourself to Ephesians chapter 3? If you don't, that's cool. It was going to come up on the screen. But I always find it's nice to have it in your hands. This morning, I'm speaking about the glory of God in the people of God. So, that's where we're going. And we're going to be reading from Ephesians chapter 3. And let's see if this works. Awesome. So I'm going to start in verse 4, give us a little bit of context. Paul's writing, and he's writing to a church. And he says this, when you read this, and he's referring to everything he's written before. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. What a passage. What an awesome passage. I'm just going to pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for wonderful passages like this, which just are so full of truth and are so rich. And I pray that you would help us to understand this a bit better this morning. Thank you for your grace on us, Lord. Thank you for rescuing us as we've already celebrated this morning. Thank you. And Lord, I pray as I speak, I pray that you would excite us this morning, Lord. Excite us about your church. I pray excite us about being your people. And I pray excite us about your glory. Would you do that, Lord? Holy Spirit, would you come and be with me and move amongst us? In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so before we kind of dig into this, I just felt that there was it would be helpful to understand a little bit about what we're talking about. Talking about the glory of God in the people of God. What are we talking about? What is the glory of God? Before we kind of look at this in depth, what is the glory of God? Perhaps you've never ever heard of that before. Maybe you're here and you have heard it before. Maybe you've sung it out. Maybe you've spoke about it. Maybe you've prayed about it. But what is it? What are we talking about? The truth is that the glory of God is a massive deal in Scripture. It's huge. It's everywhere. In fact, I'm going to be speaking about two big themes through the Bible this morning. Two kind of master stories throughout the Bible. The first master story is God making a people for himself. And we see that all the way through the Bible. It's like from creation all the way through to God making a distinct people for himself. God providing a way in which the people of God might get right with God, which only served to show that actually we cannot get right with God and they needed rescuing. Then the Father sends his Son to become our sin so that we might become the righteousness of God, no longer bound to sin but free from it, the people of God free from sin, children of God. And then we get to Revelation, the end of all things, and it talks about how people made up of every tribe and tongue and nation. It says that he will be our God and we will be his people. So one master story through the Bible is the story of God making, keeping, rescuing, saving a people for himself. And the second big story we're talking about this morning is God's passion, God's zeal for his glory. In fact, the big picture is that the glory of God is the very point of everything. It's why everything exists. It's all to bring glory to God. Here's a few verses, which, if you don't believe me, this talks about that. Colossians chapter 1, by him all things were made. And it says all things were created through him and for him. God made everything and he made it all for himself. So the glory of God is massive, but what is it? And the truth is that actually we cannot describe the glory of God. We can never understand it 100%. We can never kind of describe it any more than we can describe God. But we have to make a stab at it because it is so important. And in order to do that, firstly, I want to look at the holiness of God. I want to look at his holiness. And that's another big word, glory and holiness. And again, maybe you're thinking, what are you talking? What is that? Never heard of those words before. I'm going to try and help us all to understand them a little bit better. God's holiness is the otherness of God. It's his being set apart. The holiness of God is God being in a class of his own. It's the holiness of God is the infinite perfection and the infinite greatness and the infinite worth of God. It's what God is that nobody else is. It's his perfection, a quality of perfection that cannot be improved upon. It cannot be imitated, and it is incomparable. It's God, and it's intrinsic to who God is. It's just his character, it's who he is. It's his intrinsic, infinite worth and his intrinsic, infinite perfection. So that's the holiness of God. And the glory of God can perhaps best be understood as the holiness of God made visible. The manifest beauty of his holiness. The going public of the holiness of God. The way in which God's intrinsic, infinite perfection is made visible for me and you and other people to comprehend. John Piper, an American church leader and Bible teacher, he came up with this definition. He says, the glory of God is the infinite beauty and greatness of God's manifold perfections. I'm not sure I can do any better than that. But God's manifold perfection, let's talk about his holiness, that's who he is, his manifold perfections. And the glory is the infinite beauty of it. And obviously something is only really beautiful when it is seen. So that, like I said, in a nutshell, is the glory of God. That's what we're talking about. And what we see is that God's glory is revealed everywhere. Revealed everywhere. It's revealed in creation. Barry's already prayed that out this morning about how the creation of God, everything we see, reveals the glory of God. Here's some verses that back that up. Romans chapter 1 says, for what can be known about God is plain to them because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and his divine nature, his holiness, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. Everything reveals the glory of God. Everything. So whether you're talking about bees or eagles or elephants or ants or whales or crabs or great oak trees or tiny small shrubs or mountains or cliffs or the sea or the beach or hills or the sun, the moon, the stars, all the galaxies that we know about, all the ones that we don't yet know about, all of them speak about the glory of God. They reveal who he is. And the creation account that we find in Genesis chapter 1 talks about God making all these things, and he says, let there be light, and there is, and let there be the sun, and there is, and let there be land, and there is. And it culminates on day 6 where God makes man. And what we find is that actually mankind, humans, have a very special and unique way in revealing the glory of God. So God's glory is also revealed in man. Here's a couple of verses. Genesis chapter 1, God says, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, etc. So God creates man in his image, in his likeness. And so just by existing, just by being alive and breathing and feeling and thinking and showing emotion and all these things, just by existing, I display the glory of God in a very unique way amongst all of creation. But what we find is that is not enough, because God is greater than a human, and he has so much more glory that he wants to reveal. And so, God makes a people. God makes a people who shout about who he is. And through the story from Genesis, through the story of the people of God, what we see is God reveals his glory through his people in increasing ways, with greater visibility as the story goes on. Which brings us back to what we read earlier in Ephesians when he says in verse 5, which was not made known to them in other generations, but it has now been revealed. The story of God starts then, as we've just read here, with God making mankind. It makes Adam. And the first thing in all of creation that is not good is that man should be alone. And so God makes a people. And the story goes on, and the people grow, and sin enters the world. Sin comes in, and the God's people are consumed by it. And you get to the story of Noah, and you see God's reaction to rebellion, his reaction to sin. But even in that, you see God's devotion to his people and his commitment to preserving a people. He saves Noah, and he saves his family. He sends the floods. Everyone is wiped out. So Noah is saved. And up until this point, the people of God is quite loose. It's not very well defined. It's sort of everyone on the earth. And then you get the story of the Tower of Babel, which is the story of the people who decide to build a tower and they want to get up to God, and they think, well, we can get up to heaven, we can reach heaven, we can be like God. And then it says that God's sort of like, that's not really what I had in mind, that's not what I asked you to do. And the people are scattered across the earth. And then you get the story of Abraham, where God begins to speak to him about calling him and his generation to be a distinct people, to be a called people. A separate people, and a people who will be a blessing. A people who will bless the nations. Why? Because they're the people of God, and they reveal who God is like, and God blesses. Then you get the story of Moses. Moses leading the people of God out of captivity, out of slavery. The people of God being free, being set free. Heading towards the promised land, the land promised to Abraham. And on the way, God gives the law. God speaks to his people about the way that they should live, how they should be separate and distinct people from all the other nations that are around them. They should be set apart. God says to them in Leviticus, "You be holy, for I am holy." We looked at God's holiness, and God says, "You are my people. You should represent me. You should reveal me. Be holy." Then the story goes on, you get Joshua, and Joshua brings the people of God into the promised land, and the people of God have established a kingdom. He's established a place they can call their own. They are a separate people. People can point to them and say, they're the people of God. There they are. And the story goes on, and we see a cycle of the people of God falling into sin, falling into rebellion, going after other gods, and then calling out to God, and God rescuing them, God redeeming them, setting them free again, and then them going back into it and going on and on. We see God's committed to his people. Committed to his people, but his people cannot be committed to him. And the whole way through this story, God promises things are going to change. God begins to speak about things changing, and we get to Jesus. And Jesus comes. We've talked about Jesus this morning. We've celebrated what he's done. And Jesus comes and deals with sin. Jesus deals with the very reason why the people of God can't really be the people of God, because they're separated. We talked about the holiness of God, his infinite perfection, That's not compatible with imperfection. Hello. Thank you. Jesus deals with the very reason the people of God cannot be truly the people of God. We're separated from him. Sin separated us. And Jesus deals with it once and for all. He becomes the very sin that we are, and he takes it to the cross, and it's nailed to the cross, and he takes it to the grave, and he defeats it, and then he rises again victorious. Sin is dealt with. And what God is doing here can be understood along those two big themes I talked about earlier, that God is creating and keeping and rescuing a people for himself. And he's doing it to display his glory. I mean, the truth is that personally, we get so many benefits from Jesus. I think that's understating it. I mean, we don't often get a good deal out of Jesus. I mean, we've sung about it this morning. We've talked about it. We've prayed about it. It's so true that I am rescued, that I am saved, that I'm adopted, I'm forgiven, I am made a new creation. That's all true of me. I mean, it's just in Ephesians chapter 1, earlier in this passage, that God has blessed me in Christ with every spiritual blessing, that he chose me before the foundation of the world, that he's adopted me as a son through Jesus, and on and on and on, and it's so true, and it's so good. I personally have benefited from what Jesus has done, for what Jesus has achieved for me, and Jesus went to the cross because he loved me, and he loved you. But big picture is that it's not about me. It's not about me, it's about the people of God. It's about God rescuing a people. And it's all about him. It's all about the glory of God. It's all for him. And so then we then get to this passage. Potentially the longest preamble to getting on to speak about a passage. But I think if you understand all of what we talked about, if we get that, then I don't actually need to say much about this passage. Let's go through it. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Increasing revelation of the glory of God. They did not know about it, but now it's been revealed. And he's talking about the mystery. And the question is, what are you talking about? What mystery? And he says, the mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Bible talks about two groups of people. It talks about Jews and Gentiles. The Jewish people are those who were the children of Abraham. They were those who could trace their ancestry to Abraham. When God spoke to Abraham, he said, your descendants will be as numerous as the sand on the sea. They will be my people. And that's the story of the people of God. It's the children of Abraham. And the Gentiles are not those people. They're not Jewish. They're not Jews. They're not children of Abraham by nature. And Paul here says, the mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel, which means that people like me, I'm not Jewish, I have no Jewish ancestry that I know. People like me can be brought in to the people of God. People like me can be rescued and added to the body. That's what Paul says. That's the mystery. That's the gospel. And he says, of this gospel, I was made a minister. He goes on to say that basically he's been given the job of taking this gospel to the Gentiles and preaching it to the Gentiles so that some of them might believe in Jesus and be added in, be part of the same body, be part of the people of God. And then he says this in verse 10, so that, in other words, the reason for all of that, the reason for that, so that through the church, through this new people of God, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. Through the church, the wisdom, the manifold wisdom, the holiness of God might be made known, might be shown, might be revealed. The glory of God through the church. And he says, might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. Who's the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places? Well, not 100% sure, but the general consensus is that these are angelic beings. And this wonderful truth of this verse, that there are angelic beings who are looking at the church. And they're saying, wow, God, you are awesome. They are looking at the people of God, this group of people who includes us here in Truro, and a small group that's beginning to form in Falmouth, and all the and what's going on in Newquay and in Campbell. And God is, there's angelic beings who are looking at the church, and they're seeing the manifold wisdom of God. They are seeing the glory of God. The church is displaying the glory of God in a far greater way than ever before. And the verse finishes off here by saying this was according to the eternal purpose. This was always the plan. This is always the purpose of God, realized now in Christ Jesus, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith. It's the glory of God in the people of God. We reveal it, we show it. And so what then is the logical conclusion to that? Paul, who writes Ephesians, quite often writes in this way, and he talks about the truth. He says, this is true, this is the wonderful truth, and he goes through it, and then he says, therefore, live like this, do this, stop doing that, whatever it is. And I was pondering on this, thinking, what is the therefore here? This wonderful truth that we've looked at, that God has made a people for himself to display his glory through, and we have been added in. We have been rescued into it. We are the people of God. God is displaying his glory through us. The manifold wisdom of God revealed to the powers and authorities in the heavenly places through us. That's the truth. So what is the conclusion? Therefore, I believe it's this. Throw yourself into the church. Devote yourself to building the church. There's no greater thing to give yourself to. I can go through so many reasons why we should devote ourselves to the church. The Bible talks about how it's the body of Christ, how it's a building. It says it in Ephesians chapter 2, it's a building. God's building us together to be a holy temple. It's the bride of Christ, and so on and so on. But really, the reason that the body is so worth making work is because of who the head is. And the reason the temple is worth building is because of who the cornerstone is. And the reason the bride is worth committing to is because of who the groom is. It's all for him. It's all for the glory of God. And it is so worth giving everything for. The elders have talked about three priorities that they want to see prioritized this year. The first one is partnership, and that's talking about the sort of transitioning to having a primary relationship with Advance. And we had a great day yesterday in Plymouth. The second thing is ownership. And this is about every member of the church owning the vision of God. It's that every member commits to building the church and playing their part. Why? So the church is built, and it grows, and it moves forward, and the glory of God is made known. And the third one is mutual responsibility, and this is about every member taking responsibility for others. It's about discipling each other so that the church matures. We mature as believers, and the church matures and grows. Why? Because the glory of God is made known in greater measure. You see, it's all about him. It's all for him. This whole thing, everything that's about this, is all for him, exists for him. The church is for him. The people of God exists for his glory. And so I want to encourage you to commit yourself to building the church of God. We are making known the holiness of God. We are revealing the glory of God. Now, what I want to do to finish off is the band could come back up. We're going to sing a song. We're going to sing together as the people of God. We're going to sing. And what I want to encourage you all to do is to decide in this moment to give yourself to building the church, to decide to devote yourself to making him known. I totally get that some of you here are there. You're all there. You're all in. And that's such great news. And I think it's just good to get back there and say, yes, God, I'm all in. Others of us might have been in that place and now are not, for whatever reason. And I want to challenge you to get back there, to fall back in love with the local church, to fall back in love with the glory of God and wanting to make it known. And perhaps you've never even thought about that. Perhaps you've never even considered actually putting some effort into building the church. And I want to encourage you to do that, to decide to do that right now. Others of you here might not even believe Jesus exists. You might not even know him. Here I am talking about committing to the local church, and you might not even believe that Jesus exists. And that's great. That's fine. And what I want to encourage you to do is to use this time to just consider what I've talked about. Consider what you've heard this morning, sung about, spoken about. Consider it. And perhaps for the first time, just look to God. Just look to him. And begin to question with him, what would it mean to be the people of God? What would it mean to give my life to this? What would it mean to believe in Jesus and be rescued and saved? And so the band's going to play a song. We're going to be the people of God singing worship to him. And again, I just want to encourage you, decide in this moment, I'm in. I'm in for his glory. Do you want to stand up? Going to pray again and then we're going to sing. Father God, thank you for your glory, Lord. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for your holiness. Lord, we just recognize it. We speak it out. You are holy. You are so far above us. You are nothing like us, and yet you love us still. Lord, you are so perfect and so great and so wonderful. And God, you have made that known in creation. And you have made it known in mankind. And thank you, Lord, that you have called a people to yourself. That you have rescued a people for yourself, Lord. That you came down, Jesus, to this earth. And you lived and you died and you rose again, victorious, conquering sin. So that the people of God might be set free from sin. Might be called the children of God. And Lord, even right now, you are revealing your glory through us. You're revealing your glory through your people. And God, I pray for those here that consider themselves the people of God, would we be excited about that? Lord, would we want to give this everything? Would we want to devote ourselves to building the people of God? Would we be excited about your glory, Lord? Would we just exist? Would we live for your glory? Would we want to see it come and visible? Do it, Lord. And I pray in this moment, as many of us will be making that decision, I'm going to give the church my all. I'm going to devote myself to building the church. Come and be with us, Lord. I pray just Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come and fill us. Come in this place, Lord.
Do sit down. I might waffle on for a while. So I was thinking about bringing this early, and it didn't seem appropriate, but I think it probably is now, after what Liam's preached about. So yesterday, a few of us went to Plymouth for a gathering of a few local churches, and the day before on the Friday, I was having that conversation with someone on the playground, what you're doing at the weekend and all that. And I said, oh, I'm going to Plymouth. I said, all right. And it's just a church thing, And he then told me that he was going sailing. And okay, right. And then yesterday, when we were in this gathering of churches and we were singing about how magnificent God is, how glorious he is, and then hearing about how God's chosen the church as his vessel to display his glory and to share his gospel and to be witnesses to him, it's that he's chosen the church to do that. And oh my goodness, it can never be just church, can it? I felt like such a fool thinking that I'd called it just church, and as if it was this tag-on thing, as if it was some ancillary thing to my life. I just chose to go to Plymouth and do a church thing. Just church. No, it's not just church. It is God's chosen people. We're God's chosen people, and we, as we heard yesterday, we are where his spirit, the people of God is where God's spirit dwells, and it can never be just church, and it's exciting.
Also yesterday, I had a picture that I thought would probably be relevant today, and turns out it is. I was stood at the front of the meeting, and it might not mean so much today because I haven't got a pocket full of change, but I normally do, and you can normally hear me coming. I was kind of doing that thing where you're just kind of holding the change, and I thought, you know, I don't, maybe you've not had the time, but when I go to buy something, and I'm like, oh, I've not got enough money. And then you like sit there and you go, actually, yeah, I've got like the perfect amount of change. This is brilliant. Well, church is a bit like that, you know, like maybe you are a 2p, maybe you're a 5p, and maybe you spend your time thinking, oh, I wish I was a fiver. And, you know, you take that 2p out, and it's not any less valuable. You're still a 2p. But you can't really do much with a 2p. I don't even think you can buy a penny sweet anymore with a 2p. But when you've got a pocket full of change, it becomes something. And you can accomplish something with it. You can buy something with it. And that is for me what church is. You know, sometimes I feel like a 2p sometimes. But here in this church, we, you know, together we've got purpose, we've got value, we've got meaning, and this is what Liam's been talking about today: is the purpose of the church. And Andrew just said, could I just say something about, you know, why that means something to me? And you know, those of you who know me and know my history, and perhaps remember when I got baptized here and shared my testimony. That I'd just spent, a lifetime basically living for me, and kind of a bit directionless. I never really knew what I wanted to do. You know, I still don't really know what job I want to do for the rest of my life. But I think when I got saved, and I still thought, you know, this is just for me. This is just for me. I'm gonna cherish this for myself. And then I started to realize, actually, what? That's just the same as before, but I'm just looking in a different direction. And when I got the church, when I understood the church, it's all changed. It's all changed. I don't really care what I'm going to do for the rest of my life, job-wise, whatever. I don't mind. I know what I'm going to spend my time doing. I'm going to be building a church. And, you know, I'm part of a team that's helping get things going for a new church in Falmouth. And, you know, Andrew asked the question weeks and weeks ago, well, how are you in? Like 100%, are you in? I was like, yeah, I definitely am. I'm in 100%. This is the long haul for me. You know, maybe not Cornwall, I don't know. I'll see what God decides. But I definitely feel that the local church here in Cornwall is where I'm meant to be. It's what I'm meant to be doing. Because of everything that we've just heard about. Because the church, and nothing else, the church displays the glory of God. And that gives purpose, meaning, direction to my life. And, you know, if you're not convinced of that, then just listen. Stop, listen, think. If you're a 2p, get into a pocket of change. Yeah?
Let's stand, shall we? Let's continue to respond together. In a moment, let's sing that chorus again in just a few moments, but let's offer our lives to God. Father, thank you for showing us this morning that your great purpose is centered on your people, because it's through your people that you will display to the world your supremacy, your excellencies, the enormity of your grace and your goodness and your love. It's through your church that you are made known to the world. And Lord, as your people here this morning, we want to say we're in. We may not feel that we've got much to offer in and of ourselves. We're a 2p or 5p, whatever. But Lord, corporately, we recognize that we've got a message to bring to the world. We've got something we can demonstrate to the world of who you are, Lord, and we want to give our lives to that. We want to give our lives to planting and strengthening churches. So Lord, would you take us, use us for the praise of your glory? Lord, we thank you for reminding us this morning that it's not about us. It's not about what we get out of the deal, that we benefit enormously. But Lord, you've created us that our lives might speak of your glory and your wonder and your excellent worth. We give our lives to you again now in these moments. Let's sing, "You Are Worthy."